This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Texas Hold'em, good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. And immigration law is very much in limbo in the Lone Star State today. That law lets local police arrest illegal immigrants and send them back to Mexico. But just hours after the Supreme Court cleared the way for SB 4, a federal appeals court threw up another roadblock. Correspondent Doug Lazader gets us started.
What a whipsaw this has been. First, the Supreme Court allows Texas to enforce its new border law. Then, in this surprise move overnight, a federal appeals court blocked it again.
But, says legal analyst Jan Crawford, this is exactly what the high court had intended all along.
What the Supreme Court did yesterday was say, it's too soon for us to get involved right now. And the lower court, you need to get going on this. And then late last night, the lower court did just that, stepping in and temporarily blocking the law again.
The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals must now decide the legality of SB 4, which was signed into law by Governor Abbott back in December. The White House argues immigration is a federal issue and allowing local police to arrest migrants will create chaos. Former Border Patrol Chief Ron Vitello.
We've had chaos on the southwest border for about the last 3 years during the pendency of the Biden presidency. And so for them to suggest that this is going to make things worse is just hypocrisy at the highest level.
It is estimated as many as 8 million migrants have crossed into this country illegally in the 3 years that Joe Biden has been president. President Biden is courting the Latino vote this week with campaign stops in Nevada, Arizona, and Texas.
You know, last time, you're the reason why, in large part, I beat Donald Trump.
Yes.
Let's beat him again.
Speaking in Phoenix yesterday, the president took direct aim at his predecessor.
2016, he called Latinos criminal drug dealers and rapists when he came down that escalator. Now he says immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country.
A recent New York Times Siena College poll shows Trump beating Biden 46-40% when it comes to the Latino vote, which will make up about 15% of the overall vote in this year's election. The president's son Hunter, a no-show today at a hearing before the House Oversight Committee. Lawmakers are probing the Biden family business dealings without Hunter Biden present. Republican Congressman Tim Burchett.
It's a clown show with him. This whole thing is just a charade. He's been subpoenaed and he's defied the subpoena and nobody else gets to do that. And it's the same thing with everything about this whole deal. It's rules for thee and not for me.
The Oversight Committee wants to know what Hunter Biden knew about his father's involvement in his overseas business ventures, the White House dismissing charges of influence peddling. A Trump-backed candidate won big in Ohio's Republican Senate primary last night.
I want to thank President Trump for all he did for me.
Former car salesman Bernie Moreno got more votes than the other two Republican candidates combined.
What we have to do now is, as a fully united party, understand we have one mission, which is to get rid of Sherrod Brown.
Brown is the Democratic incumbent who faces a tough re-election this fall. It could be one of the most closely watched Senate contests in the country in November. Former President Trump making news on the abortion front today. He has voiced support for a 15-week ban on abortions. Trump's adding, however, that he's reluctant to endorse a federal ban, arguing that abortion is an issue best handled at the state level. Well, don't expect the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates at its monetary meeting today in Washington. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Interest rates have remained at 23-year highs since last July, and Fed officials have said they want to see further improvement in inflation rates before starting a rate cut campaign.
Inflation is still running about twice as high as what the Fed wants to begin cutting interest rates. Overseas, the fighting rages on at a hospital in Gaza, where Israel says Hamas has regrouped and is launching attacks from there.
Israel says it's killed 90 Hamas militants at the Al-Shifa hospital and arrested 160 others. The building is one of the few partially functioning healthcare facilities in northern Gaza, and thousands of civilians had been using the complex for shelter. The Israeli military says its troops have prevented harm to civilians, medical teams, and equipment.
Jonathan Savage reporting from Jerusalem. Charges have been dropped against Gold Star father Steve Nakui. He's the guy who was removed from the House chamber for disrupting President Biden's State of the Union speech. His son Kareem was killed in our botched withdrawal from Afghanistan in August of 2021. Google-owned YouTube is now requiring full disclosure when it comes to posting videos using artificial intelligence.
It's getting increasingly hard to identify what is and isn't real when it comes to this generative AI stuff. And so it is in YouTube's best interest to make sure that these videos are labeled and that people are aware that they may not be viewing something that actually happened, even if the video says otherwise.
That's CNET's Ian Schur. It's the first day of spring, and the 2024 Major League Baseball season is in full swing now. Today, the season started in Seoul, South Korea. It's the first time ever an MLB regular season game's been played there. 100,000 people showed up to watch the Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2. The ceremonial first pitch was thrown out by Chan Ho Park, who three decades ago became the first Korean-born player to ever make it to the bigs. And today is also the International Day of Happiness. Survey says the happiest country in the world right now is Finland. It's the seventh year in a row the Finns have claimed top spot. Jan Emanuel Denev with the World Happiness Report.
Wealth is one thing, but then there's also a healthy life expectancy, which is also very high in Scandinavian countries, whereas in other wealthy countries like the United States, life expectancy is actually going down for certain segments of the population.
For the first time, the U.S. is not in the top 20 of the world's happiest countries. Americans under 30 are the least happy age group. Still to come on the Noon Report, the downside of marijuana, promoting pregnancy in Pennsylvania, and Buffalo getting ready for the solar eclipse.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. It's officially spring now, but winter rules the land locally. I'll have forecast details in 10.
All right, Kevin, we'll see you then. Checking the stories that are making news where you live. All across New York and Pennsylvania, the Queen City is making plans to accommodate a whole lot of people for the April 8th solar eclipse. People get ready. It's coming. In Buffalo, the AAA baseball team is teaming up with NASA to host a total solar eclipse viewing event at Salem Field. Gates to the Bison's ballpark will open at noon on the 8th, and there's no charge to get in. The total eclipse will happen around 3:18 in the afternoon and last for almost 4 minutes. Then it's over. The next total solar eclipse won't happen until the year 2044. SUNY Fredonia in western New York is cutting over a dozen majors to cover a $10 million deficit. Fred Kowal is president of the United University Professions Union.
The system is being undermined, and the students' experiences will suffer, and their opportunities will suffer.
WGRZ's Ron Plant has more.
The union leader notes the reversal of overall SUNY funding policy under Governor Hochul that says state leaders opted to plow more dollars for research and other programs into so-called university centers like UB, Stony Brook, and Binghamton at the expense of smaller, more rural campuses, perhaps leading to a two-tiered system like California.
SUNY is the largest university system in the country, with nearly 500,000 students enrolled at 64 schools across New York. A boil water advisory still in effect for a number of neighborhoods in Rochester, Hampshire, New York, after a human body was discovered in the Highland Park Reservoir yesterday. Star O'Neill is the manager of the Monroe County Environmental Health System.
Those coliform tests, they take about 16 to 24 hours to get results back. So we can't say, yes, it's absolutely clean. We think so with all the initial tests, but we have to make sure that the public is safe. Hence, the abundance of caution for this boil water notice.
The incident prompted all Rochester City schools to cancel after-school activities yesterday. Still no word on the identity of the male found in the reservoir or the cause of death. A news conference scheduled at 1 o'clock this afternoon at the Pennsylvania State Capitol. They're going to talk about the dangers of recreational marijuana. A coalition of state lawmakers, business leaders, and substance abuse experts will testify on why they think the legalization of pot is a bad idea for Pennsylvania. Governor Shapiro called for it in his budget address last month. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed an executive order allowing pharmacies to sell birth control over the counter without a prescription. The order provides women up to a year's supply of birth control, and out-of-staters are covered as well.
And it comes down to women having full control over their own bodies.
Critics contend this is yet another step in Hochul's radical abortion rights agenda. They fear this order could lead to harmful drug interactions and medical injury. A new organization has just been formed in Pennsylvania to help women in crisis pregnancy situations. It's called the Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative. Organizers say it will bring awareness about the vital role that pregnancy help centers play in the community. Pro-life activists point out that many women terminate their pregnancy because they falsely believe they have no alternative other than abortion. Governor Hochul is reminding New Yorkers that the state's Move Over law will be expanding this month. Liz Warner has our report.
The Move Over law protects drivers, pedestrians, highway workers, and emergency responders. Drivers are required to slow down or move over in order to avoid a collision with any stopped or disabled vehicle on highways. The original 2010 law was enacted to prevent collisions with stopped emergency vehicles, and starting March 27th, it now includes hazard vehicles, highway worker vehicles, and tow trucks. The governor noted nationally nearly 300 drivers are struck and killed roadside every year, and between 2016 and 2020, 37 people died outside of disabled vehicles in New York.
That's Liz Warner reporting. Heads up, Central New York, there's a warning today for those who've recently purchased unpasteurized raw milk from a farm in Oneida County. There are concerns that the milk from Big Brook Farm in Lee Center may be contaminated with listeria. The farm is not allowed to sell any more milk until it's deemed safe to do so. Pennsylvania game officials are bringing back a small game bird that disappeared in the 90s from the Commonwealth. 50 of these bobwhite quail were released yesterday into the wild at the Letterkenny Army Depot in Franklin County. Brian Burns is the executive director of the State Game Commission.
They used to be in all 67 counties, but as human encroachment took place and major human disturbances, habitat loss is why these birds are currently gone.
Bobwhite quail are still found in the wild in Virginia, Kentucky, and Florida. The birds released in Pennsylvania yesterday will be monitored by the Game Commission. Each one of them has a leg band so they can be easily tracked. Sports news next. We call it the 2-Minute Drill on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, it was a busy night on the ice as 13 games were played last night. In Vancouver, the Canucks held on for a 3-2 victory over Buffalo. The Sabres were down 2-0 entering the third period when Rasmus Dahlin scored to cut the lead in half. Dahlin scored again late in the game to again pull the Sabres within one, but that's how it ended. 3-2 Vancouver. The Flyers got goals from Owen Tippett, Travis Sanheim, Morgan Frost, and Scott Laughton, and they needed them all as they edged the Maple Leafs 4-3. New Jersey leapfrogged past Pittsburgh for sixth place in the Metro Division after handing the Penguins a 5-2 loss. At Madison Square Garden, the Rangers came out on the short end of a 4-2 score against the Jets. Carolina jumped out to an early 3-0 lead against the Islanders, and they cruised to a 4-1 victory in New York. On to the NBA. New Orleans won their third straight, knocking off the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn, 104-91. Cam Thomas scored 25 in the loss. March Madness began last night with the first four playing. One game was close, the other turned into a rout. Wagner edged Howard 71-68. Howard had three shots at tying the game at the buzzer, but none of their three-point attempts connected. And Virginia looked awful as they got blown out by Colorado State 67-42. Tournament begins in earnest tomorrow. That is a look at sports.
All right, can't wait for that. Thank you, Randy. And still to come on the Noon Report, Big League Baseball started today in South Korea. Plus, Texas border battle. There's news to report on that front. And MAGA movement alive and well in the state of Ohio.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. You know the old saying that goes, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail? Well, among the hammers today is psychotherapy. Too many that are wielding it are convinced that every human problem is a nail. However, the unprecedented rise of mental health problems among Gen Z suggests that the overuse of this tool has actually done more harm than good. In another bold book, Abigail Schreier confronts the idea of psychology as an all-consuming ideology. The book's called Bad Therapy: Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up. In it, Schreier argues that much of what's now taken for granted about psychological and emotional trauma is wrong. And it's left millions of young adults more traumatized than if they'd had no therapy at all. The thesis of this book aligns with that of her previous book, Irreversible Damage, which exposed the reckless push to medically transition gender dysphoric kids, especially girls. This push has been driven mainly by the mental health industry. And now, in Bad Therapy, Schreier points out the many indications that the whole approach of our therapy-obsessed age has gone awry. Most obvious is that despite living in one of the most objectively prosperous and safe times in all of human history, our young people today are en masse more mentally sick and more emotionally sad than ever. In fact, over 40% of young adults today have a mental health diagnosis, which is twice the rate of the general population. In other words, the generation that is most treated for psychological well-being is doing the worst psychologically. So how do we get to this point? Well, in a recent podcast with former New York Times columnist Barry Weiss, Schreier told the story of her grandmother, Bess, who grew up during the Great Depression. Bess was orphaned and so malnourished that her teeth grew in gray. She then contracted polio and spent a year in an iron lung. And yet, despite all that suffering, she still managed to recover, get married, and have kids, then go to law school and become one of the first female judges in her state. She was also, Schreier put it, one of the most optimistic and can-do women that she'd ever met. Today, doctors, psychiatrists, counselors, and teachers would all tell Bess, because of her trauma, to lower her expectations of what's possible for her to achieve. They'd be constantly watching her, waiting for confirmation of this diagnosis of permanent damage. And eventually Bess, like millions of children do today, would probably believe them. The central thesis of Bad Therapy is that the anti-adversity worldview, which has been embraced by everyone from therapists to parents to self-appointed TikTok influencers, has all been damaging to children. Therapy's become an ideology, an entire way of looking at life. For Christians who understand that human beings are more than matter that can just be molded and medicated, the need for a book like this is even more obvious. Both divine revelation and millennia of insight have suggested that much of what passes today for so-called psychological trauma is spiritual brokenness. Spiritual healing can take the form of counseling and medication, but to put it simply, no amount of psychotherapy can ever alleviate our need for a savior. And so Abigail Schreier has, once again, launched a cultural conversation, one that is a vital corrective. Not only can it help curb the excesses of bad therapy and pop psychology and make us better, wiser parents, but a book like this can help us rethink the true complexities of who and what we are as human beings. And for believers, it's a chance to show what it looks like to live redemptively in light of the groaning of this fallen world while using all the tools at our disposal. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
All right, John, thank you very much. Outside next, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon into tonight. Variably cloudy, brisk winds and cold with flurries, snow showers, a few snow squalls. Watch for some locally slick travel in any heavier squalls. Temperatures this afternoon peak in the 30s or low 40s, dropping back into the 20s tonight. Tomorrow morning, flurries for some and sunshine, cold, high temps, mostly 30s. Friday, some sun and clouding up with late day snow or a rain snow mix. That'll be late Friday night. The high Friday, 30s to near 40.
All right, Kevin, thank you. This is the Noon Report, the first full day of spring, March the 20th. Here's what's going on. The on-again, off-again Texas border law is off again. A federal appeals court late last night blocked it just hours after the U.S. Supreme Court let it stand. The controversial statute allows local police to arrest illegals and local judges to send them back to Mexico. Reporter Morgan Chesky is at the Texas border today.
Right now, local authorities across Texas, but especially those here on the border, really find themselves in uncharted waters here. They watched the Supreme Court decide not to block SB 4 from going into effect. They heard Governor Greg Abbott say this is positive progress. And then just hours later, they heard from that lower court reinstating that pause on SB 4, at least for now.
The Biden administration says the Texas law interferes with federal law. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the White House is refusing to enforce federal law, and that's why SB 4 is necessary. He predicts ultimately the state of Texas will win in the end.
There are 6 votes on the Supreme Court that say it's okay for Texas to go ahead and begin enforcing the law. So that's a very consequential step that's been taken. It's not conclusive, but it's consequential for now.
Mexico issued a statement last night saying it will not accept deportations from the state of Texas. The Fifth Circuit expected to issue a ruling on the fate of SB 4 today. Oral arguments began about an hour ago. President Biden stomping in Arizona, Nevada, and Texas this week, trying to win over the all-important Latino vote.
In Phoenix last night, President Biden launched a new campaign to court Latino voters, like Paulina Flores, a registered Democrat.
In 2020, I voted for Biden.
Steve Macias, a registered Republican.
In 2020, I voted for Trump.
And Raquel Glodin, a registered independent.
I voted for Donald Trump.
This time around, all three are undecided.
Lee DeJang reporting, Donald Trump is lashing out at the New York judge and state attorney general Tish James for that $464 million civil fraud judgment that threatens to unravel his real estate empire.
We have a great company, but they want to take it away.
Correspondent Garrett Haig.
Mr. Trump has just 5 days to come up with the cash to post bond or risk having his assets seized by the state. His lawyers said Monday he was unable to secure a bond after approaching some 30 lenders. Mr. Trump on social media warning he, quote, would be forced to mortgage or sell great assets, perhaps at fire sale prices. That could include iconic properties like Trump Tower and 40 Wall Street, golf courses and resorts around the world, even his private plane.
Trump making news on the abortion front today. Here's reporter Tanya J. Powers.
Former President Trump is suggesting he would support a national ban on abortions around 15 weeks of pregnancy. It's the first time he has voiced support for a specific limit on the procedure. In a Tuesday radio interview with WABC, he also seemed to suggest a reluctance to a federal ban, saying it's a state issue.
Trump-backed GOP candidate cruised to victory last night in a high-stakes Ohio Senate primary. Kevin Cork reports from Columbus.
Bernie Moreno has won his party's primary. Former car dealership owner beating out Ohio State Senator Matt Dolan, who received key endorsements from a lot of GOP establishment folks in the state, including the governor, Mike DeWine, and former Senator Rob Portman. But it was Moreno who received the support of former President Donald Trump late last year, and he rode that wave to victory in the Buckeye State. That is a very big win for him.
Moreno moves on to face Ohio Democrat Sherrod Brown in what will be one of the most closely watched Senate contests in the country in November.
We're going to win this race in November. We're going to retake the United States Senate. We're going to have President Trump in the White House. We're going to get the America First agenda done.
Moreno got more votes last night than the other two Republican candidates combined. The White House is relaxing auto emission standards for a few years. This delay is due to America's reluctance at buying electric vehicles.
The new rules are expected to push car makers toward electric vehicles, but over a longer period than originally proposed. That's just common sense, says Sam Fiorani of Auto Forecast Solutions.
The market isn't ready to accept this level of EVs in this shorter period of time.
Car buyers are expected to see a lot more in the way of hybrid vehicles. Jeff Gilbert, Detroit.
If you like to ride your bicycle, you'll love this. You could soon ride your bicycle coast to coast from one ocean to the other without ever getting off. A new federal grant program will help expand the Great American Rail Trail. Those funds will be used to create a continuous collection of trails from Washington State to Washington, D.C. The finished route will be approximately 3,700 miles in length. For the first time ever, the U.S. is not among the top 20 nations when it comes to overall level of happiness. Rory O'Neill reports on the 2024 World Happiness Report.
The U.S. ranks 23rd this year after coming in 15th a year ago. Gloomy Americans under 30 are dragging down the numbers, though people over 60 put the U.S. in the top 10. For the seventh year in a row, Finland is the happiest country overall. People under 30 think Lithuania is a laugh. Those over 60 put Denmark on the top of the happiness list that's produced by Gallup and the Oxford Well-Being Center. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Spring has sprung, and that means baseball. The 2024 Major League season got underway today in Seoul, South Korea. The San Diego Padres lost to the LA Dodgers 5-2 in the first game of a two-game stint overseas. 100,000 people were there to watch the first big league baseball game ever played in South Korea. You're listening to the Noon Report, a midweek edition on Family Life.
Welcome to another edition of Real Answers. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed Christian counselor Chris Anderson. Today's topic, how to find good friends as an adult. What do you think makes it difficult for somebody to be a good friend?
I think the way that we see ourselves, what we do a lot of times is we then project it onto other people. We then think, because I feel this way about myself, so must other people. And that's not always true. It becomes difficult when people are too harsh of a judge on themselves and also believe that other people around them are judging them the same way that they're judging themselves.
So it's almost like a worth issue. Your ability to have friends is how you view yourself and the strength of your identity in Christ.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, that's really the way we process ourselves and process other people that can get in the way of us forming healthy friendships.
What can the church do to make it easier?
Effective churches, I believe, have a mix of community outreach activities and internal social events. The church, especially, I believe, in rural areas can do a lot more to provide social engagement opportunities, for example, on weekends and during holidays, to give people a place to connect. When people are more willing to make friends in settings other than the local bar, the more opportunity they'll have to actually connect. People need to expand what they believe is acceptable places of interaction, and then they're going to see that you're going to start to meet more people that have similar interests.
What about trust? What do we do when trust has been broken in friendships, and how do we forgive?
This is a huge one, Sarah. Relationships are risky. I think that anyone who's being honest with themselves will say that there have been times when they've been hurt in a friendship and also inadvertently or even intentionally hurt others. So we all need to forgive and ask forgiveness. And, you know, when our trust is broken, we've got a decision to make. Will we initiate conversation or respond to somebody else's attempts at working through problems? You know, sometimes, Sarah, too, depending on the complexity of a relationship that was harmed, it may take some discussion with others, a pastor, a counselor, or, you know, another trusted friend to decide how to handle a friendship that was damaged by a breach of trust.
Maybe you're entering into a season where you realize, I don't have a lot of friends. How do I pick this game up a little bit? How can you
you be a good friend? How can you work on yourself to make yourself a person that can be a good friend?
Well, you know, let me just use an example. I recently reconnected with a good friend from the 90s, and I called him up and I apologized and asked him to forgive me for not maintaining contact. Interestingly enough, he said the exact same thing right back to me, and it was just a nice reconnection. So I think trying to think back to who we've connected with in the past, being willing to say you're sorry and ask them to forgive you for not keeping in touch and see where that goes. But you're right, seasons of change, seasons of life. I mean, things come, and a lot of times friendships come and go in our lives too. And it's okay to, you know, look back and say, hey, I need to reconnect with so-and-so, and then just reach out. But by all means too, try to reach out in person with a phone call or a visit if you can. Social media, we could do a whole other segment on the impact that social media has had on the quality of our friendships. Social media has had a, sadly, an unforeseen negative impact on people's abilities to form really, truly healthy friendships.
What are things that you do, actions that you can do to develop good friendships, things that you need to work on in yourself to make yourself a person that is more palatable to other people so you can develop one or two good friends?
Well, you know, a lot of times when folks come in and ask me about, like, they can't find the right one to enter into, like, a dating relationship with, I say, well, don't worry so much time trying to spend the time finding the right one. Understand what it means to be the right one and work on yourself. So understanding what good friendship is, what does it mean to be there for somebody? You got to have good boundaries. You know, you can't be at somebody's beck and call every minute of the day. You've got to make sure people aren't taking advantage of you, too. So, again, do a little homework. Understanding what is friendship, being able to understand, okay, how do I do this without being taken advantage of, especially if you've been hurt in the past? And bottom line is, if you're really struggling, talk to a professional. I mean, we can definitely, you know, work on all these areas with you a little bit more.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers on Family Life. On Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families.
Good stuff. Thank you, Sarah. Real Answers also available online at familylife.org. Just look for the news tab on our podcast page.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, we're now officially in springtime, but winter will rule the weather map, at least for now. Cold air gushing in on westerly and northwesterly winds with generating flurries and some lake effect snow squalls today into tonight. And a larger system, a combined system from the Midwest and along the East Coast, could bring area-wide snow or a mix come Friday night into Saturday. For this afternoon into tonight, variably cloudy. Brisk winds and cold with flurries, snow showers, a few snow squalls, and a few raindrops mixed in eastern Pennsylvania for a while. Watch for some locally slick travel in any heavier squalls. Temperatures this afternoon peak in the 30s or low 40s, dropping back into the 20s tonight. Tomorrow morning, flurries for some and sunshine, cold, high temps, mostly 30s. Friday, some sun and clouding up with late day snow or a rain snow mix. That'll be late Friday night. The high Friday, 30s to near 40.
All right, warmer days are ahead next week. Hang in there, folks. And finally at noon, some spring cleaning at a home in Quebec, Canada, led to quite an explosive discovery, as we find out from Family Life's Brian Querry.
Kedron Sims Brogman and some family members were cleaning out the home formerly occupied by her father, Frank, who had recently passed away. They went into his tool room and made quite a surprising discovery in a toolbox, a live grenade. Sims Brogman told CTV that the tool room was a special place for her father.
The tools were always sacred. He didn't want anybody messing with his tools.
She contacted police and the Canadian Armed Forces came to find the grenade, estimated to be from World War II, was still live, a rare occurrence for antique grenades. The incident has added to the legend of her father, who was well known to his friends and family as a unique story. Teller.
My father was always a bit of a character, always had some great stories to tell. I think this was just one last one for us.
A happy ending to what could have been an explosive tale. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, Brian, and just like that, folks, we are out of time for Wednesday, March the 20th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.